This morning we're going to continue looking at object lessons found throughout Scripture from which to draw some spiritual lessons. We sang a while ago about heavenly sunshine flooding my soul with glory divine. Maybe some of you feel like, well, preacher, the sun is not shining outside and the sun no longer shines inside. I don't have any more of that heavenly sunshine. I don't have any more of that joy that I used to have years ago in the Lord. Now, that's the testimony, sad to say, of a lot of Christians. If I was a physician, which I am not, and a patient came to see me and I could not find any physical reason for their condition, I think I'd ask them, tell me, are you a professing Christian? And if they told me yes, I think I'd ask a few more questions because I believe very possibly their physical condition because the reason is they have lost their heavenly sunshine on the inside. And it's taking its toll physically on them on the outside. And we're going to talk this morning about a person in the Bible who lost his heavenly sunshine. Oh, I guess tonight's sermon, I guess. The man who lost his heavenly sunshine. You're all familiar with him. And it's an object that many of you, I guess, have maybe experienced. I have as a young child. Children fall down hundreds of times. Nothing ever happens to them. I've always said the reason little kids that fall down don't get hurt because they're so little and so short, they don't have far to fall. But when you grow up and you get bigger, you know, if I fall down, I've got up here, I got 6 foot to fall. My head's got to go 6 foot where it's ground. Now, a little baby only got to go a half foot, 2 foot, or a foot and a half, and that's no problem. But a child falls down, he gets up and goes on playing, falls down and gets up and goes on playing. But the older the person gets, and the older I get, and the older you get, the more we fear falling down. We do everything we can to keep from falling down. Kids will fall down on purpose. I have them falling down on purpose, and I don't know when. The reason is simple for me and other adults. Number one, I weigh too much now to fall. It's a lot more weight going against you. Second, like I said, I got further to go before I hit bottom. I'm taller than I used to be, and my bones undoubtedly are a little bit more brittle than they used to be. Why do we fear falling down as adults? I just mentioned it. We fear we might break a bone. Now, some folks make it through life without having to wear a cast on their arm or their leg. Others have experiences in their past where they say, oh, I broke my collarbone when I was a kid. I fell out of a high chair. I fell too far. So they lifted me up on an adult level and let me drop. And that's what happened to me. But anyway, there are those who have experienced broken bones, legs, especially if you played football or something. And all of us have no desire to go through that experience, whether we've ever had it or not. And today, the object lesson that I'm preaching on, if you hadn't quite figured it out, is broken bones. I've never preached on that. I've never preached on bones, much less broken bones, but that's the object lesson. All of you have probably heard the old spiritual song, them bones gonna rise again. You know, in the song, they have a rundown of the connecting links of the bones. You got the head bone connected to the neck bone, and the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone, and the shoulder bone connected to the back bone, and going down the line, the song goes, it gets down to the toe bone. But today we're gonna talk about a new bone. I've never used the expression, never heard it used, but I'm going to talk about the soul bone. The soul bone. The skeletal system of the spiritual man. You know, the Bible says we are a new creature in Christ, we're a new man, and that new man is called the Spirit. And I'm going to say to you this morning, let's picture in our mind the Spirit has a skeletal system, all right? Let's give it some substance. Let's give it some form. Let's give it some shape. Let's give it some strength. Let's give it a bone system. So consider your spirit this morning. Your soul is having a skeletal framework just like your body. So I'm talking spiritually now. I'm not talking about the bones in your arms and legs. I'm talking about the bones spiritually in your spirit or your soul. And you can't see these with an x-ray, but they're there because the Spirit's there. And with this thought in mind now, I want you to look at our text. It comes from the book of Psalms, the life of David, and the 51st chapter. So if you have a Bible, turn there with me, Psalms 51, verse 8. I believe we're going to stay in this book this morning altogether. I will not take you outside of Psalms 51. I'll make it easy on you. You won't have to search the Scriptures. All right? Verse 8. He's making a prayer to God. He says, make me to hear joy. He's lost his joy. He's lost his sunshine. He's lost his gladness. Have you ever had that happen to you? And he lost it because of his association with God. Here is the joy and the gladness that David got through God, because of his relationship to God. Had he never met God, he'd have never known this joy. He'd never known this sunshine. He'd never known this gladness. Every Christian has the joy of Jesus placed in their life when they get Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So David had the joy of the Lord in his heart. But it was gone. And so he says, make me again to hear joy. That's not on the outside. That's joy on the inside. Let my hear again my spirit make joy. A lot of times we sing on the outside and everybody says, well, you don't mean it. There's no joy on your face. You're not singing from all your heart. You got it right there. They're not singing from the heart. And it's kind of hard to put on joy on the outside when you don't have any joy in your heart when you're singing spiritual songs. Because spiritual songs ought to come from the Spirit. All right? Now he says, make me to hear joy. I don't hear joy anymore. How long has it been since you heard any joy in your spirit? And then he says, and gladness. Then he goes on and says, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. What a strange text. Most of us have never pictured God being in the bone-breaking business. Read again. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may once again rejoice. Now, to better understand David's statement and his symbolism and his cry and plea to God, you need to understand the predicament that he got himself into. It's one very familiar to you. For David at one time practiced being a man after God's heart. By that it is simply meant he sought to please the Lord in all he did. He was a man who gave his whole heart and lips in song and praise and devotion to the Lord. That was what brought sunshine and joy into his life, into his spirit. And he was like that for many years. But then one day he fell victim to the allurement and the attraction and the power of his own lust. You know the story far too well. And David committed adultery with Bathsheba. At that time, the sun did set in the west. At that time, the only concern of David was not getting caught, was not being discovered, was getting away with the evil deed that he had done and facing no unpleasant consequences. That was the only concern on his mind. And for a while, it seemed like he was successful at doing this. Of course, he had to give up the idea of being a man after God's own heart. That was in the past tense now. And he could no longer be concerned about the will of the Lord. Not anymore. Not in that state. And he would have to lay aside his harp, still his voice, and sing no more songs of praise to God. Not in that state. And that adjustment that David began to make in his life was a painful one eventually. He compares it to a time when his bones were broken. He began to make some adjustments in his life, and hopefully God would not do anything with him and let him get away with the sin that he had committed. But there came a day that David had to confess that God did not ignore him, and God did not overlook it. And God took action. He didn't take any external action. He didn't blow up the palace. He didn't have him overthrown by the enemy. He didn't get him down with diseased liver, but he took action. And David said the action that God took was like broken bones. That's what he means in that verse when he says, the bones which thou hast broken. God did something to David to make David repent of his sin. And for all of us who are tempted by any kind of sin, we need to learn a valuable lesson this morning, taught to us by David. While the promise of sin at the time of temptation is very pleasurable and looks very profitable, God will see to it that eventually it becomes very painful and very paralyzing. Did you know a person with broken bones is almost paralyzed? I'm talking about really, not little cracks. I mean broken, and the bone has separated. I mean, you're pretty well paralyzed. The arm won't move, it's broken like that. And the leg won't move, it's broken like that. And if your back is broken, you won't move if you're broken like that. And so for a time, David said, boy, my sin is so much pleasure and brings me so much profit. But God says, in time, my boy, you will see it's very painful and it's very paralyzing. You'll learn the lesson very dearly. And for a while, it seemed that sin stupefied David. It silenced his conscience. He no longer cared whether he sang songs anymore but God on his harp. It overrode his sense of right and wrong, and it supplied his passions with continual pleasure, and he kept his heart and mind off of thinking about God. It did that for a while. But sooner or later, the stupor began to wear off of David, and the sin which looked so pleasurable and so profitable and so delightful no longer appeared anymore. And David, listen to his thoughts now. Verse 1. He reached the point that the agony from the broken bones was so intense, he said, have mercy upon me. He rushed himself to the emergency room. Let me put it that way. He rushed into the emergency room, and he had broken bones all over his spirit. And he said, have mercy upon me, O physician, O God, and show me loving kindness. If there's anybody you want to deal in loving kindness, it's the guy in the emergency room. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. All right? Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Not the pleasure of sin, but the sin. The regret of the sin. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I got spirit problems. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And then verse 8, the one we read in the beginning. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. For once he was obsessed with lust. Now he is obsessed with guilt and sorrow and fear. He lost his sunshine. Let's put it that way. Physically speaking, there wasn't a great deal a doctor could ever find wrong with David. That wasn't high blood pressure. Didn't have diabetes. Didn't have anything x-ray to find out. But the physician could ask David, were you at any time a Christian? Did you ever know the Lord? Yeah. I think I found your problem, David. Here's your problem. And David felt like a person that was physically sick. But he wasn't physically sick. He was spiritually broken. Had broken bones in his spirit. Well, he had become immobilized. He had become, in a sense, crippled. He had become paralyzed. And he was just bogged down. And life had lost its joy. And Bathsheba couldn't bring him any more fun. And the lust and the pleasure of life couldn't bring him any more happiness. I mean, he was miserable. Can you tell a man with a broken leg get up and dance? You know? He'd lost his capacity to enjoy the things that once he thought he had to have. No longer could David run and play. No longer could he jump for joy. No longer could he make a loud noise in his heart. The thing about a broken bone, if you don't correctly set it, it'll leave you permanently paralyzed. A lot of Christians today are seemingly permanently paralyzed. And they're not going to get any better until they take the step that David took to get out of it. David admits things will never be the same after his encounter with Bathsheba. Would never be the same. He would never again know the joy and the satisfaction he had found when walking in the Lord's favor. He'd never know that again. For a person who's known that, folks, and to lose it, that is a deep hurt. If you've never known it, you won't ever miss it. But if you've known it, you'll miss it. David would never again have sweet fellowship with the Lord. Not in his state. Not if he stayed in his sinful, rebellious state. He would never again have sweet fellowship. Oh, he could sing a song. He could quote a prayer, but he could never have fellowship again with the Lord. He would never again feel peace in his heart. Never again. Never again could he sincerely play his harp and sing the songs of praise he loved to sing and compose so many times. Never again could he expect the Lord to bless him. Never again could he expect the Lord to protect him from his many enemies. Put another way, David felt his life was shattered like the shattering of a broken bone. And although David's case was very painful, it was not hopeless. It was not hopeless. Because the breaking of the bones of his spirit was no accident, because they were broken by God. David was made to feel crippled and miserable on the inside, that his problem might be corrected on the inside. And those who have broken bones can have those broken bones mended by the heavenly physician. If he breaks them, he can mend them. And David knew that to be greatly true. And so David reached out to God and said, "Heal me of my broken bones. I'm tired of my sinful state. I just want to tell you, I confess and I repent." Look at verse 3. "I acknowledge my transgression." Why did he wait so long? Why did he wait so long? He waited over a year. Over a year this man went through this condition. Finally, he said, "I can't take it anymore. I acknowledge my sin. I can't get off my mind. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Then he asked for forgiveness. Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me from my sin." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow." He's talking about his spirit. And then verse 9, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity." And then he asked God to mend the broken bones. Verse 10, I'll paraphrase this for you. First of all, he said, "Lord, mend my heart bone. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Fix up the heart bone." Then secondly, he says, "Lord, fix up the right spirit bone." That's the last part of verse 10. "And renew a right spirit within me." The heart bone, "Lord, renew my love for you." The spirit bone, "Lord, renew my love for the law." Then if you will, look at verse 12. I call it the joy bone. "Lord, mend the joy bone." That to me is renew that inner peace and happiness that I once knew. Bring it back to me. Then in verse 8, back to our original verse, I call it the glad bone. "Lord, mend my glad bone." What's the glad bone? The one that makes me glad to do the things the Lord asked me to do. It takes murmuring out of my mouth. I was glad, David said, when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. A lot of folks need their glad bone mended. Father, we're thankful this morning to know that we don't have to live. If this is our problem, if we have sins unconfessed, we don't have to live with a broken spirit. We don't have to live with bones that are broken in our soul, but we can be mended and made whole again by that heavenly physician. If we'll only do as David did, that is, confess, ask the sins to be removed from our life, and then ask for the bones to be mended that are broken, the heart bone and the spirit bone, the joy bone and the glad bone. Father, if that's our problem this morning, anyone in this church, may we make this day the day as David did, in which we correct the problem and come forth healed and made whole again in our spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.